If you're like me, and I think you might be, that was a hard song to sing. Doesn't feel right on any level. Praise you in the morning. Praise you in the evening. Put in me a new song when I don't want to sing. All I want to do is cry. I got the phone call this afternoon. Hate that phone call. Our beloved David and beloved Emma. What do you say? Say nothing. It's in that moment that I need something and I go someplace, and I want you to go there with me. And bear with me if I don't make it all the way through, okay? What I need is something that Paul has, that the scriptures have. It's what I like to call a second sight. That in the toughest realities of life, and this is one of them, my friends, this is one of them, that there is something that can frame even that. We call it hope. And it is that hope that allows us to sing with confidence that song we just sang, even though it's hard and it doesn't necessarily emotionally resonate right now. And the place I want to go to for this hope is I want to take you to Romans 8 with me. And close your eyes if you need to just see the pictures that Paul gives us in this moment, to frame this moment, our moment together. Hear the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hopes that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can stand against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with us give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who is interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No, says Paul. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second sight. I consider these sufferings not worth comparing to a glory about to be revealed to us. The Christian faith does not ignore the harsh and hardest realities of life, and we don't do it right now. Yet even as we face it square in the eye, there is still yet a glory to be revealed to us. But it is appropriate and right that we feel this suffering and feel this grief together. When I got the phone call, you get that pit in your stomach. You never know when your life is going to change, how fragile each breath is. Days roll into another and such that we can easily take life for granted. We live each day trying to do the best we can. We lace up our jogging shoes and we step on the treadmill at 6 and don't get off until we literally fall into our beds at night. Life is normal. We go to work and have our morning coffee. We go to classes. And then it happens. Despite all of our careful planning and all our best intentions and all the struggles and daily routines, we turn on the TV and we watch helplessly as people in Haiti awake to a living hell. A doctor sits us down and gives mom or dad a diagnosis. We open our email and we read the news and the phone rings in the study and nothing is ever the same again. How could it be? In a moment, the normal life we were after is gone. Life is different, upside down, and it's helpless. And we don't know what to do, and we don't know where to go. And we don't have to do anything right now but hold each other, to cry and to pray and to be here in this sanctuary of hope. But as we are here, we may not help but be asking ourselves questions like, God, where are you? This isn't fair. David and Emma played by the rules. How could this happen? And what do we say now if you don't have the words? And these are honest questions and the right ones. It is these questions that Paul takes up in his letter to the Romans. Paul gives us a picture to help us with this question of what we say. In verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, for the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here is the truth. None of us knows how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is right now interceding for us with sighs too deep for words. God listens because God always listens to the mind of the Spirit. What I want to say tonight is that God has not abandoned us. God is here. Our reality is this, that when we can't pray, when we are helpless, when our pain is too much, when there is too much that we do not understand, there is a God interceding and praying for us right now through the Holy Spirit by the intercession of Jesus Christ according to the will of the Father. God is praying. For me, I find it comforting to know that the God we gather to pray to tonight is a God who understands and intercedes in our weakness. The first real step on the road to prayer is to recognize that none of us knows how to pray, and especially right now. We need to give ourselves grace not to feel pressure to have all the right words because we do not have them. We need to give each other the grace to just sit in silence and allow that silence to echo as a prayer, a fragrant offering up to God who is interceding on our behalf. The Jesus who died, who was raised, who sits at the right hand of God is right now interceding for us. The only one who has the power to condemn is also the very one who is interceding for us. And this is true, and it is trustworthy, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The nature of the gospel pivots off this truth. The God who is and who was and who is to come, the God of the beginning and the end, the God who spoke into existence his own self, the God who walked among us, the God who in human form died and through a mysterious deep down magic rose again, is the same God who calls us, who justifies us, glorifies us, and is right now interceding for us in our grief. God's nature is generous. When we enter into the life of God, our life accelerates into his. And as that happens, we are given faith and a hope that can frame even the deepest griefs. And we hear this echoed in the psalmist that Paul read, that God is generous beyond measure, even in the darkest night. God is a shepherd. God leads us. God restores us. God is with us. God prepares a table. God anoints our head. God pours a cup till it overflows. And we will be and spend our life in God's house all of our days and even into eternity. The same God spoken of then is the same God that we call upon right now. God is with us. God is praying for us. And this is a great assurance because I never know what to say. I don't have the right words. There is not a class you can take for this. But it is a great assurance to me that I don't have to, and that neither do you. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing, to simply be still and know that God is, that God is for us, that God is with us. And this is our reality, and this is our hope. And if God is for us, who can be against us? It is this assurance that allows Paul to assert with confidence that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He is confident that death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor rulers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the good news that we lean into right now. This is the good news that allows us to sing to God in the morning and in the evening, that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the darkest night is, there is a God who walks with us and is for us. This is the hope that is true for David and for Emma, as well as for you. The good news that there is nothing under the sun that can ever separate us from the love of God. May it be so in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God, we do not know what to say. Give us the grace to lean into the knowledge and the faith that you are interceding for us, that you're interceding for David's family and Emma's family, for all of the friends. Lord, we pray that as we walk through this together as a community, we would do so united in you, or your love that no circumstance can break would bind us together as a people of hope. Lord, we cry out to you and we do not understand. So as we come to you, God, be patient with us, and we ask and we beg you to be interceding on our behalf. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of hope said, Amen.